We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Show, college football championship weekend this past weekend was absolute money. Look, I'll be honest with you, man. It snuck up on me a little bit. I didn't realize until late last week that we had the Pac-12 championship was going to be on Friday night. So I'm going to be honest with you, man. We got a little Friday, a little triple header, Friday night football, Saturday all day, and Sunday all day with the NFL. But it started out Friday night, Utah versus USC in the Pac-12 championship. Utah was sitting at 11. USC was sitting at number 4. USC was playing for, obviously, a college football playoff berth. And Utah had already beaten them once earlier in the year. USC, that was. Their sole loss came at the hands of Utah. And I'm going to tell you, Show, this game one was in Vegas. So the crowd was absolutely berserk, right? Utah ends up mopping the floor
after
USC,
trailing 17-3 to start the thing.
47-24, Utah wins over USC. Now, it's worth mentioning this game was significantly impacted by some kind of leg injury. I'm sure they've announced by now. I have not circled back to see what exactly it was. But Caleb Williams, who I think with a decent ball game would have had the Heisman Trophy wrapped up, losing by 23 points to Utah in the Pac-12 championship, I think is going to end up hurting his Heisman chances. He may still win it, but something was wrong with his leg. And this is twofold. USC's offensive line has been trash all year long. They've struggled all year long. So his escapability, his ability to extend plays, not only was necessary because of his offensive line, but it's really where a lot of his production came from. He was getting comps drawn to Jalen Hurts' ability to run with the football, and in the second half, he flat out couldn't move. He just wouldn't even attempt to move. Anybody got close to him, he went down. So it was painful to watch USC and Caleb Williams get destroyed in the way in which they did, 47-24. And as we know, USC falls from 4, I believe, in the newest rankings.
10,
they fell all the way to 10, and they miss a chance to play in the Rose Bowl, miss an opportunity to get into the college football playoffs.
I understand, Caleb, the injury. And
sure.
But God, dog, man, their defense is so bad. And listen, we watch the Texans every week. That was the worst display of tackling I've seen. I said watched in anger that game.
Yeah, it's not good.
And they couldn't tackle worth a damn. I mean, big plays, struggled getting guys to the ground and looked like they had just never even been taught any kind of fundamentals of tackling. It was so, so bad. I mean, that game was 17-3. And at that point, you're like, they're about to run.
Right.
And they couldn't. And they couldn't hold through. And I got to be honest with you, now that we know how the playoffs are set, I mean, looking at their offensive line, and if Caleb is compromised at all, there would be some time. But Georgia would have beat the hell out of them boys. I mean, they wouldn't have been able to block any of those guys up front. That would have been a problem. So we probably get a better matchup with Ohio State. But I was so disappointed to watch USC just falter like
that. Utah ends up in the Rose Bowl, which is one of the coolest traditions ever. The winner of the Pac-12 obviously has handed out roses, red roses, and they all got them in their mouth as they're getting in the trophy ceremony. And they catch Penn State in the Rose Bowl, and USC catches Tulane in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic in Dallas. I think that'll be an absolute torching of Tulane.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely, no question about it. I think USC absolutely torches them. The other championship games, Show, I think the game of the weekend for me was Kansas State. TCU, Kansas State 31, TCU 28. Kansas State really dominated that game and extended their lead to a two-score lead late, And I'm going to tell you, Max Duggan, another Heisman hopeful. His team was down, and he brought them all the way back and tied it up 28-28 multiple times in the fourth quarter. Literally, he's on his knees trying to catch his breath. He just got the absolute hell beat out of him. And he ties it up, takes it into overtime. They go for it on fourth down inside the five-yard line. They run it twice, I believe, and didn't get it in, so they didn't score in overtime. K-State gets their possession in overtime. They kick a field goal. They win.
I cannot believe they didn't run a sneak.
I can't believe they didn't put it in the quarterback's hands and let him at least try to make one last play. But the shape he was in, he couldn't even hardly run at certain times. He was so blowed. But anyway, Kansas State ends up winning 31-28 over TCU. The most beautiful thing the College Football Playoff Committee, I think, has ever done is they leave TCU at number three. Now, I think there's a reason behind this, but they leave TCU at number three, and they will play Michigan in the Fiesta Bowl 2-3. Number two, Michigan versus number three, TCU. K-State ended up having a hellacious year. They're catching Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. K-State, Alabama. Any interest there, Show?
Yeah. I'm kind of into that game. Deuce Vaughn is one of the best players in college football and one of the most entertaining players to watch. And they do their thing. They got a really good coach there at K-State, and that'll be an interesting matchup. We'll see how many players from Alabama actually play in that game. But it'll be fun.
K-State, one thing about that K-State TCU game. As I said, Max Duggan, I think he was going to get a courtesy invite because his team was undefeated and ultimately a lot of the other, I think, Heisman Trophy candidates, I think down the stretch here, eliminated themselves. I think he was going to get a courtesy invite after that performance in that Big 12 championship. I think he definitely gets an invite, and I think he's a long shot, but I think there's a shot that he could get some votes there. In the Heisman Trophy.
I was a little skeptical of him being a real – we talked about it. I was like, man, it just feels like it's down. But he had like three or four Heisman moments in that game. And his offensive coordinator, with Lincoln Riley's younger brother, he appeared to be the only one in the building to not know that he was completely whipped because he just kept on, didn't he? It ran him down. He could not. He scored the touchdown, and then couldn't after he just ran 40 yards down the field, and he's grabbing knee and win the whole way. And my man is coming back. All right, run it again. I got like, damn.
I don't know if it was the 2-minute play. I mean, the 2-point play, or no, they didn't have to go for the kick. But the touchdown he ran late. It looked like he was in slow motion. He was so winded.
I said, they tried to hit him multiple times. I said, they're going to come back with a run here. And then he's on his knees, and he's got to hurry up, and they can't call a timeout. He's got to hurry up and try to get the ball. Yep. You know what I didn't like? I thought TCU should have tried at the end of the game. They got the ball back, and they just went ahead and set on it to go to overtime. They had about 50 seconds or
did
so
they?
Left. Yeah, they
yeah
had
I was I was in and out
so.
At that. And once they tied it up, I thought it was going into overtime, so I ran.
And they punted it. They got the ball at like the 5 or the 7. And he said he didn't want to take a chance of a holding or anything to end the game. Sure. I think you got to go. I think you got to give Max another shot.
Gotcha. All right, let's bump on to the SEC championship game. Georgia 50, LSU 30. I mean, look, I thought Georgia was gonna mop the floor with LSU. I'll be completely honest. I think LSU. I think they showed up a better football team than I gave them credit for. I think the one thing to come out of this ball game is a couple of things. Is LSU the Nussmeier kid? I think it's Garrett Nussmeier, I believe is his name. His dad was a coach in the league and offensive coordinator in the league, and he's kind of been waiting in the wings last year. They did played quarterback shuffle at Orgeron's last year. This year, Jaden Daniels comes in, and he's the quarterback. He transferred out of Arizona State in with Brian Kelly, more mobile quarterback, and he had a good year. But Nussmeier showed me – I did not know he could spin it the way he could. He came in this ball game and threw the ball extremely well against Georgia. They were aggressive, throwing the ball down the field, impressive arm strength. One of the youngsters that – to me, championship weekend, there's several stories, but one of them was the young quarterbacks that absolutely balled out. They're going to be fun to watch over the next few years. And the Nussmeier kid at LSU is absolutely one of them. And show the other one is I mean, we talked about it a little earlier, and you said, hell no. I don't know that Stetson Bennett doesn't get an invite to New York. I'm with you. I mean, he.
Somebody just texted in, how come no one talks about
I'm telling you, man.
The Georgia quarterback as a top draft prospect.
Well, no. Let's not get carried away here. Draft prospect. But when you look at the way this Heisman thing has gone down, man, he may get an invite. I mean, the way it's gone down and the way that these candidates have kind of fallen by the wayside, he might get a damn invite.
I think Georgia still wins, but I think if they start the Nussmeier kid from the jump,
LSU,
because. What's my man's name?
Daniels.
Daniels. He was hurt from the jump.
Yeah.
As soon as he got hit, he was a different. At the end of the half, he could not walk off the sideline during the timeout. I think it's a different game if that young kid plays.
Well, it's all said and done. Georgia wins that ball game going away convincingly. Georgia number one will play Ohio State in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, and LSU will. They're going to go on. Who'd they draw? They drew Purdue. This is a late one. They drew Purdue in the Citrus Bowl. Yep. I think that'll be a good football game.
Purdue just got waxed in the Big Ten championship game by Michigan.
Yeah, I think Michigan's a different animal. I think there's a chance that could be a better football game. Maybe not. Big Ten, SEC, we'll see what happens. UCF, Tulane. Tulane handles Central Florida. I bet on Gus Malzahn there. That's my guy. And Tulane went to work right there. All right, Big Ten, Purdue, Michigan. You just said Michigan got Michigan thumped. Purdue, JJ McCarthy, the quarterback at Michigan. That's another one of the youngsters that balled out this weekend. I knew he could play a little bit. Obviously, you know, they didn't go with him over Cade McNamara because he couldn't play and because his ceiling wasn't higher. Clearly, that's why they went with him. It took him a while. They've kind of protected him all year long. The Ohio State game and this Big Ten championship game, I think he's starting to get comfortable, and he's spinning it really, really well. So that's another young quarterback in college football that just has that freakish arm talent that's going to be fun to watch moving forward as well.
Yeah, Michigan is interesting, man, because when you look at them, they look like some of those classic SEC teams that don't have great quarterbacks. I'm not talking about the Alabama ones when they've got, you know, Tua, or they've had, you know, even Jalen when he played at his best. Not those teams, but the LSUs with Matt Flynn, the LSUs with some of the ones that Les had.
You know what I mean? Absolutely.
But I just can't, even Georgia with Stetson.
Yeah.
I just can't tell, though, if they're a poor man's version of those type teams or if they are as good as those teams. And I don't think we'll find out until I think they play Georgia. I don't think we find out when they play TCU.
Well,
I just
got punched in the mouth by Georgia, and it was embarrassing. I think there's a chance it could be a little different. Not I mean, different game. I don't think it'd be a different outcome. But if they get there, I think it'd be a different game. Michigan catches TCU in that college football playoff, the Fiesta Bowl, I believe, and Purdue LSU in that Citrus Bowl that we were just talking about. Here's a game that I was interested in terms of the young quarterbacks. Cade Klubnik at Clemson takes over for DJU, and Clemson goes 39-10 over North Carolina. My man Drake May, I may have got out over my skis a bit with my Drake May conversation, but Drake had an unbelievable year as a freshman. But him and Cade Klubnik, between him, Drake May, Cade Klubnik, J.J. McCarthy at Michigan, and the Nussmeier kid at LSU. Boy, there were some impressive young quarterbacks out there this past weekend on Championship Weekend show.
Yeah, he gave DJ two drives.
Two drives, and it wasn't it. And Cade went in there and three straight drives, I think, scored points. And so I think and by the way, this time Dabo Swinney, I believe, said that after the ball game, said that Cade Klubnik will be the starting quarterback moving forward, and that leads us into the transfer portal conversation. Today's the day show. The transfer portal is wide open, and it is absolutely blazing right now. I'm not going to get into all the position players, but there's a lot of really good position players that are jumping into the portal, and I'm talking about whether it's players that are disgruntled somewhere because the season didn't go well. Clearly they're disgruntled, but it's whether it's because that the season didn't go well or because they got their job took or they just need a change. There is the transfer portal is wide open. 40% of players that jump in the transfer portal over 3 years will find a new home. There will be thousands of players that jump into the transfer portal that do not play football next year. It's a scary, scary situation for a lot of these guys. I don't know if they're making the right decision or not. They won't know until another school ends up courting them and ended up picking them up. One thing I hate about this transfer portal era, guys, is the letters. I mean, these letters these kids are writing to announce that they're in the transfer portal, thanking the coaches and thanking the players and thanking the fan bases.
It's
silly as hell. One, nobody gives a rip. Two, you're choosing to leave. Like, a lot of these guys are starters. You're choosing to leave and go to a different university. Nobody wants to hear about how sorry you are, how thankful you are. There's big time quarterbacks. DJU out of Clemson right now, former 5-star, I believe he was number one overall prospect when he was coming out. Spencer Sanders, the 2 or 3 year starter out of Oklahoma State, is transferring. It's slipping my mind right now. The what's my man that was starting at NC State? Anybody got that name? The NC State starting quarterback.
I forget.
He was one of the players that coming into the season was one of the higher rated quarterbacks. Kind of keep an eye on, not top 10 prospect or anything. Devin Leary was his name. 6'1", 215. He started a couple of years at NC State. Been a really, really productive player, and in the transfer portal, bro. Big time quarterbacks on the move. I don't know where they're going to land. A lot of new coaches. Nebraska, Wisconsin, hell, LSU could potentially, if he didn't want to go with Nussmeier, he could potentially need one there. Oh, and by the way, AR-15, Anthony Richardson out of Florida.
Baby.
He is declared for the draft. I don't think it's the smartest move by the young fella, but there's clearly some tangibles there that are going to turn a lot of NFL scouts on.
Somebody going to take a chance. Zach Calzada, he also enters the
That's right.
How about that?
The portal. Damn it.
You want him back?
Nah, I'm good.
Oh, you're good?
Good.
All right, we got to talk about the big news of the day. Justin Verlander goes to the New York Mets. The money you haven't heard is crazy. Astros fans, you got any problem with Justin Verlander? You good or you have any problem for him jumping ship and going for the money with the Mets? We'll discuss that next.
It's a Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the news of the day, and this got dropped before our show. If you're listening on In the Loop, they broke it. I was listening to them as they broke this news. Justin Verlander is a new...
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
New York Met. He is going to the National League. $43.3 million per year is what he got. He got a 2-year deal at $43.3. Full no trade clause and even a third.
43?
Yeah, man. That's big
a lot time. Of money.
At 40, dog. 40 years old.
Woo, I mean, you're a big age guy.
I'm just saying, man.
Is that fair to say, Tyler?
I think so.
He's a big age guy. He leans into that age, doesn't
age
he?
Age when it comes to money, man, you generally don't see guys
getting right.
$86 million hey,
how much in Mets got wrapped up in them old-ass pitchers they got?
Yeah, exactly.
They gave Scherzer 42.
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
And then and they let DeGrom go. By the way, he went to the Texas Rangers. So I'm going to keep an eye on there.
I hear they're offering senior discounts in the team store to Verlander
they
and
are.
Scherzer.
Yeah.
A.T., I can't believe you didn't jump on that like a duck on a June bug.
Yeah, I mean,
In division, he's over here talking about Jacob DeGrom to the Rangers.
Oh, I tweeted about it a second ago.
It's cool. They got
LOL.
Like, you
got
to make a bet on it. You got to make a bet or something.
I'm just saying.
Well, the
look
Rangers
out.
Are getting serious now. I better watch out for Arlington.
I mean, they got the best pitcher in the division, but I mean, it's all right.
Oh, the Rangers, they're laughable.
Yeah, I mean Jacob. I mean,
no, he's good.
I love Framber. He's the Jacob.
I'm not worried about
the
Rangers.
Best pitcher in the. I'm not saying you got to worry about. Listen, look, we look over in at the Angels. They've got two of the best players in baseball and they lose 100 games. You're right on that.
Tyler told you.
He did. All right. Damn it. I said he was right.
Try to tell you, man.
Like to have
just
me to
the
cuss.
Greatest producer in the world, Tyler T. Mill.
Like to have me to cuss on that. But no, Verlander goes there. And I said, are you mad? Are you mad, Tyler? Because you good with Verlander?
I'm good.
I'm just saying, I've seen people go around talking about he, like thinking, man, he owed the Astros a little bit more. They gave him almost $60 million when he wasn't pitching. You good with it?
He contributed to two World Series. He pissed his ass off, won some Cy Young Awards, gave his all for Houston. I'm good with it.
I just thought this
glad
was
a, we're not paying him that
I
much.
I felt like this was a potential Tyler on the text line here on the Trailer Will and Frame text line that said, by JV, he sucked in the postseason. I hate to say this because I love JV and watched him his whole career, but he is like James Harden, but less an a-hole. Great in the regular season, but fades.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't even shape my mouth to put Verlander in the same sentence with Harden.
Well, Verlander's a champion.
Yeah, I can't do that. Yeah.
Harden has not sniffed one.
Yeah. I understand what they're saying, and the stats will probably back it up a tad bit. However, I can't even disrespect JV. In that way, look. Here's the deal. I'm glad that now that we have some hard numbers, I'm one that I was in the camp of JV. Keep JV if you can. I don't think at 43 plus you can. I just don't think it makes sense.
Where was the number? How high were you willing?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know.
You saw 43 as hell no.
Like when I look at the numbers right now, and it's 43 plus over 2 years. Fully guaranteed with a third year option of $35 million.
And no trade.
For me as an Astros fan, when I look at the situation, they've got six starters. I don't want to sit here. I like where the Astros sit with their six starters. That plays into my ability to say, okay, let JV walk makes sense. But I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm just super comfortable with the guys that they have. I mean, in no way, shape, or form do I feel like the Astros are going to be able to go out there and win the way they won this year in terms of the pitching carrying them outside of a couple of monster moments from certain players at the plate. I don't feel super comfortable with that. I like Christian Javier. He turns me on a bit. The way in which he pitches, I love it. I'm not going to go out and bet $1 million that he's going absolute money throughout the season and be able to last. McCullers, I like him a lot. I'm not ready to just bet on him staying healthy. Hunter Brown, love what I've seen. I don't know how he's going to do over a full 162. I'm not overly comfortable or confident in what's left, but I think that played a big role in letting Justin Verlander walk. But I tell you, right after the news broke, I heard Landry and John Lopez talking about it, and I start thumbing on the old Twitter machine, and I don't know who it was, but somebody responded to one of Chandler Rome's tweets about what Verlander had done. 61-19, 102 starts, 2.26 ERA, 083 whip, two Cy Young Awards, one Cy Young runner-up, 300 strikeout season, ALCS MVP, third no-hitter, 3,000 strikeout, two World Series, yada, yada, yada. But in a response to that, somebody said, yeah, but 43-3, that got us Abreu, Montero, and then who was the other? Oh, possibly Brantley. Like, that's the kind, like, those three players are what you could get for 43-3 a season.
And see, Clint, that's the key to it for me.
What's that?
With him, like 43, I couldn't go. Like to me, I was like, hey, man, 35 is maybe as high as I would go. Damn sure not 43. But to go to the point that you made, like I'm not going to sit here and just say, hey, boy, I like this rotation, but they're going to do what they did last year. Our pitching's going to.
Right.
No, but with this money that you were going to pay him, like don't just give it to me. Oh, we paid Montero and Abreu. No, Jack. You could have paid Verlander and those two. I want to see, because I'm not going to expect, even if Verlander came back, Clint, I'm not going to expect this rotation to be as dominant as they were. I mean, they were absolutely, at a historical level, dominant. But I would like to see them now replenish this team and get other places stronger than it was. Maybe not have a 7, 8, 9, you know, bottom of the order like they did. Maybe that gets stronger. And if that is Brantley or whatever. But I think we need to see some, at least one more significant move to strengthen another part of the team. Whether they go out, I don't know if they need to because the way their bullpen was shaping up at the end, but they go and bring another power arm to add to make this thing devastating at the back end. Or to me, they add another bat somewhere, which Jim Crane has talked about. I just hope they replenish this thing and get themselves stronger because they are going to have to counteract the pitching from last year. And when they lose Verlander, that comes even more.
So I'm not going to lie to you. Y'all tell me if I'm wrong. Does the Brantley possibility turn you guys on as much as it does me?
Fully.
I just want
6 to midnight.
I
just
want to
know how healthy he is.
Yeah. We all want to do that. Like if she comes walking limping in the door, she's not going to be.
That's a big part of it.
She's not going to be a 6 to nooner like Tyler said.
Yeah,
that's a big, if you're telling me getting the Brantley that we're used to.
Stop it. If Brantley's healthy, I mean obviously we don't. I mean he can't be part of the solution or part
that,
of the.
If he's healthy.
Not only do you feel okay, well, if they tell you he's healthier, where's your comfortable?
Well, man, I'm ready. I believe him, but okay. I'm just.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's the whole thing.
With all that said, does Brantley turn you on?
Yes. Yeah, he turns me on.
I like
it. To have a deal there with him either playing mostly DH, but also spelling.
Well, I mean, the general manager Bagwell's already said it. Yordan's only going to play 45-50% of the game, so somebody's got to play, which I think is great for an aging Brantley. Could you imagine?
I could imagine, but
Chief,
I also
and then you got Brantley in that piece as a left fielder or DH, and Yordan as the other.
But I also look.
White boy Chaz jumping off the wall in center field. Come on,
you know what I mean?
We'll look around. I don't know who's available via trades or whatever, but I think with the funds they have, I think they could even potentially do better than Brantley. They have money to spend where they could even get an upgrade, a younger version of that to add to their team, right? I mean, if they're going to push 35 something, if they like Jim Crane talking about Verlander, I mean, 35 had to be plus in his mind to even be seriously considered. I'm just saying, I think I like Brantley, and I'd be good with it. But I like them to explore all their options. I think they have the ability and the funds to go even greater than Brantley. They can add another significant piece and have this lineup look the way it has before, when Springer and Correa and all of them guys, when we're sitting here saying, damn, man, Carlos Correa's got to bat 7th, you know, in this lineup, that can offset, you know, the rotation going down the way it has a bit. All right, coming up, Clint, I got to get some thoughts on the Pep Hamilton situation because that's getting worse and worse. Oof. But there's a question coming from the text line about a player that has recently been waived that I want to get your thoughts on. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, it is a Reaction Monday presented by our good friends at Churrasco Steaks and Seafood. Coming up behind us, the Lovie Smith Show.
So we had somebody come up, one of our loyal listeners come up and say they got that Chateaubriand over there at Churrasco's. And it's enough
to feed
two. Absolutely delicious.
Enough to feed one as well.
Man, we got to get back up. Well, how do you know? It fed me and you both.
I knew I could have eaten yours.
Me, you, and Aaron.
And I knew you could have eaten it by yourself as well.
Yeah, well, I got a little bit of a discipline problem.
I'm just saying, discipline or not, could you take that thing down on your own? Hell yeah. Well, 3 of us can. Aaron's got a discipline problem, too. all right. This is – I do want to get to Pep Hamilton because maybe You've asked about rock bottom. I feel like we may have seen rock bottom with Pep Hamilton.
I've said that three straight weeks,
last
Bob.
Last night, yeah, you're right. It make it worse.
But you're right. I don't know how for an offensive coordinator gets any worse than a quarterback fumbling a sneak and throwing a pick six on our and throwing an interception on a screen and both of them get taken for touchdowns. I
Is
don't
it a
know
fumble?
That it can get much worse.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Four downs from the three and your best player doesn't touch.
Oh, yeah. That, oh, yeah, that too.
But – This has been coming, and this was on the text line a couple of times, and I want to get you the Trailer Will and Frame text line to be exact. Baker Mayfield was waived today, and people are asking, all right, he's got to clear waivers. The Texans, if they don't have the first one, I believe they do, they have the first right of refusal of Baker Mayfield. Should the Texans go after Baker Mayfield?
No.
Don't do that.
I mean, look, I think – no, look, the quarterback in me, and given what I've watched, says absolutely send any and all help. It's a million – some. What was it? He's got a million some odd dollars left over five ball games on this year's contract. I want them to add anybody that could possibly upgrade the quarterback room. And there's no doubt about it that Baker Mayfield would upgrade the quarterback room, as sad as that is to say. Even though I do believe that he played much better than he's given credit for in Cleveland, I do believe that there's a chance in the right organization. Clearly, he's not going to do well in a dysfunctional organization. He's been a part of two of them. If I were one of those, I would not look at adding Baker Mayfield. Clearly, he does not operate well in dysfunctional surroundings or in adverse situations. Like if I were San Francisco, I'd be chomping at the bit.
With the injury to Garoppolo, who is that now? You're sitting here with rookie Brock Purdy.
They've lost Trey Lance for the year. They've lost Garoppolo for the year. Brock Purdy, I thought, looked great. They've signed Josh Johnson. They've got to keep him on the roster, I believe, for 3 weeks at least, because they signed him from somebody else's practice squad. So they're in a little bit of a pickle there. But with Baker only costing you $1 million, you could get him in there. You know, ideally, if Brock Purdy can get you through a couple of ball games and Baker's practices, learns the offense, with that supporting cast, he would be a viable option at quarterback. Hopefully, Brock Purdy plays well enough and they don't need him, but he would definitely be a guy that would be waiting in the wings and I think could be somebody that could end up helping a team like San Francisco, a team where clearly all you got to do is show up and play football. Just show up and play quarterback. Like it doesn't matter. The team's not petty enough to not like you. The leading receiver's not going to not like you publicly and then bounce up out of town. The team's not trading away their best players. The team's not flip-flopping quarterbacks between you and two other guys. It's clearly not the dysfunction that Cleveland was when he was there. I think there's a chance that he could get his career right and get it on track if he's in an organization that's one of the top, I don't know, four or five in pro football, it looks like.
Yeah, I think it would be a bad move.
For the Texans?
For everybody. For everybody. One.
Even
Baker.
If you're desperately needed, like the San Francisco 49ers?
I'm sorry, for the Texans and Baker. Texans, everybody here. The only reason why you make the move is if you feel like this could be some long-term, when I say long-term, I mean into next year, and it can't, right? You're not going to bring him in to really get him going this year to learn an offense and then be ready to play in, what, two or three weeks.
Yep.
And then if you're doing that, you're saying, all right, he's an option maybe for next year. And no, you better draft Bryce Young or whoever is the top quarterback potentially in the top of the draft, and that needs to be who you're looking to next year. You don't need Baker Mayfield to be around whoever that is, that top quarterback that you're drafting, to be around with him next year. So it doesn't make any sense there. And Lord God, Baker needs a break. And going to the Texans is not the break. And going to Pep Hamilton and Lovie Smith and the way they operate things is not the break he needs. And that
I agree.
So it doesn't go when it didn't go to me. The Niners were a good one. The Rams, that would be a good one with Sean McVay. Somebody. Like he needs a break and this ain't it. So
yeah. I think those two would be good ones. I think even somebody like Tampa Bay would be a good one. Go sit behind Brady even if it's just 5 weeks, 6 weeks. I think that would benefit Baker. You know, there's some teams out there that just they desperately need options. I mean, that's the crazy thing to me, man, about the quarterback play in the NFL. We spend so much time, rightfully so. I mean, the other ones don't deserve the talk, but we spend so much time talking about the Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen's of the world. that you look at organizations that just, think about how bad organizations miss on quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the Texans right now, the Saints right now, you can argue the Rams, even though they won a Super Bowl last year. I mean, just Matt Stafford with no other answer at the quarterback position behind him. How risky is that to go into a season? I understand that they're F them picks kind of guys, but boy, there's better quarterback situations than
the Jets are nervous right now to wonder if they missed on their draft pick.
Yeah. I mean, what golly, man. I mean, it's just one of those where you just there's way too many. I mean, and I guess, you know, it's not an exact science, but it's crazy how many really good quarterbacks there are that are out there that just fall by the wayside, end up just dealing, and I guess it's part of the league. Half the league is dysfunctional as ever, so the quarterbacks end up that way as well. But it's just shocking to me how good the quarterback play is at the college level, and then you get to the NFL, and some teams can't even find one guy that can throw a screen.
Yeah, or run a sneak. Lovie Smith, he's coming up behind us on the Lovie Smith Show. But he did speak to the media earlier today. And listen, Pep Hamilton, like, I don't think there's any excuse anymore. Even if you were hanging on, there is not a single excuse anymore. Every single player on this team, he's had different quarterbacks, different whatever. Now it is him. And I think what Lovie says here really sums it up. He doesn't speak directly about Pep Hamilton, but if you listen to it, you know he's talking about the play calling. This was Lovie Smith talking about what he saw yesterday with his offensive play calling.
Let me start with that. And I'm talking a lot about what we're doing, players and all that. We have to do a better job. It's kind of simple as that. We had opportunities. So whenever I talk about our play has to get better, we're a part of that. You know, we probably got away from who we are a little bit, you know, offensively yesterday. We need to come back to it. Our offense starts with Damon Pierce, and he has to, you know, we have to look at how many carries, number one. I don't think that he was really shut down yesterday. We probably shut him down more than anything.
All right, that's direct shots at Pep Hamilton. And that's my biggest thing with Pep. Like, he's not elevating anything. He's not doing anything, as you would say, cutting edge. He's not doing any of that stuff. But the problem with me yesterday and before is it just doesn't seem like there's any rhyme or reason to why he does things. Like, and to the point of what Lovie just talked about there, I'll be damned, man, you may not be cutting edge or any of that stuff. But you got to at least be to the identity of the football team we're trying to build. And there is no way in God's green earth, as he just said, Damian Pierce didn't get shut down. Hell, we shut him down, to be honest. You can't be first and goal from the three, and your head coach gives you four cracks at it, and Damian Pierce, first and goal from the three, doesn't touch it once. Doesn't touch it. And you ran it one time, and he didn't get it. Like, that right there to me is, bump all the other stuff, you're not even going to what the identity of the team is supposed to be.
I didn't think I should do it today.
Yeah, I think my biggest problem, show, is what it's, what that run of plays, four attempts, first and goal from the three, and they don't get in and Damian Pierce never touches it. That the what goes into allowing that to happen is what concerns me more than it happening, right? I mean, like, the thought, like, the fact that you've got an offensive play caller that couldn't just simply watch that game and understand you've got a second string quarterback in there. Brandon Cooks, your best weapon, is out. Nobody at your wide receiver or tight end position is a mismatch from the 3 yard line that's going to be able to go up and make a play for you. You know, at that point in time, your best option ultimately is an improved run game with guys that have shown improvement and shown the ability to run block. And the only ball carrier pass catcher that you have that's shown the ability to consistently make guys miss, run through folks, and always finish forward is Damian Pierce. Your offensive coordinator watched that football game and didn't have the wherewithal to go, I got to get that guy the ball. Your offensive coordinator's been with Lovie Smith in this organization talking about the
ice.
No, he shouldn't. But why didn't he? Like that is the situation where if the higher ups in this organization have put a group of guys together that can't be better at first and goal from the three than what we watched yesterday, I'm concerned about more than just Pep Hamilton.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Lovey coming up behind us. Also, Monday Night Football coverage starting at 7 p.m. The big games.
We done?
Play. Yeah, we play on Sports Radio 610. It's a three-hour Monday. You know that. Lovey coming up behind us with the fellas. Great job, Clint. Great job as well, Tyler. We'll work on that. We'll work on that field goal. Actually, man, don't do that again. Actually, man,
no, I'm gonna punch. Practice and no, I'm gonna get
no,
good.
No, there's punch. No reason to practice.
Just I'm gonna get good.
Toe time. Punch from 25? Nope, it's money.
You're
every
never
time.
Gonna need to use
what
that
I do.
Again.
I find no, something I'm not great at and I become great.
You don't. You really don't. For Clint Tyler, I am Ron Nichelle Hughley as always, Houston. We love you, baby. Justin Verlander, he signs with the New York Mets.
I want to thank Kate Upton, too.
Of course you do. You're a perv.
And, yeah. And her beautiful self. Thank you, Kate. We'll miss you as well.
You did enough, yeah, Justin.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.